す初めの一歩、目の一歩踏み出す、目の一歩踏み出す初めの一歩。
This is H10, 阪神 Tigers English News, where 阪神 Tigers fans all around the world unite and catch up on the team that once had a player storm off the field furious at management because of their inability to conduct themselves and to win games by making decisions. And so he stormed off, and in the dugout, apparently he said, Benchi ga aho ya kara, yakyu ga dekehen. He was furious and he left the field. And he was a guy that joined the team late, later in his career. He was not a born and bred Hanshin Tiger, but he was furious at the team. His name was Takenori Emoto. He is now an author, by the way. And speaking of by the way, I'm your host T-Ray. This is episode number 63, and today is May the 29th, 2017. Welcome to the show! You know, this episode that I talked about just now happened in 1981, so it's a good long time ago, and I love trying to educate my listeners just a little bit about team history, some of the funner things about history, some of the important dates in history, and so on and so forth. And so today we are going to very quickly mention that our number 63... on episode 63 is Yutaro Itayama. He has been struggling on the farm. He has not made it up to the top squad yet this year. Last year, he was up on the main squad for a little while as a rookie, sixth round draft pick. And one time he made it to the Heroes podium. And on that podium, he said to everybody, you know, I'm Itayama. And by the way, Takayama is not the only rookie on this team. So, you know, he's a real competitive guy. Hopefully he will be able to show his stuff up on the top squad at some point in his career. Hopefully he can be a key role, play a key role on the team in the future. Wow, what a sidetrack. Okay, so what else? 1963. The year was 1963. And as I mentioned in last week's show, we won the pennant in 1962. So we were the defending champs heading into this season. Unfortunately, it did not go particularly well for us. In fact, we started the year very poorly. I think, if I'm not mistaken, we started the year something like, what was it, like 8 and 17 or something crazy like that. I don't have the exact figure in front of me, but it was something like that. Anyhow, we end up finishing in third place with a 69-70-1 record. And at season's end, it was determined that we did not have very good hitting and we needed to do something about it. Now, the manager at the time had determined that we need to have two ace pitchers on staff. And we had Minoru Murayama, and we also had a guy by the name of Masaaki Koyama. Now, we also had an import, our first import pitcher in team history, at least from America. His name was Gene Backe. And it was determined that he was good enough to become the team's second ace. And so why don't we trade one of the other aces for a good bat? And so that's what we did. That offseason, the 1963 offseason, we traded away Koyama. Koyama was a little bit upset because the year before he was not named MVP. That went to Murayama, even though Koyama won the Sawamura Award. I know it's just like little, you know, politics or whatever, fighting type of stuff. But we traded Koyama, we got Yamauchi, and we will talk next week about the 1964 season and how that went for us. How do you like that? So, as you all know, we are heading into the interleague schedule as of this week, and so we're going to talk quite a bit about that. But before we do that, moment of life or death, sour could be gone in just one breath, save from the death his joy consumes, give it unto God, he'll follow through. I trust in you, I follow you. It's time to recap. So, this past week, we spent the entire week at Koshien Stadium as a team. We played six straight games. We hosted the Yomiuri Giants for three. Then we hosted the Yokohama Bay Stars for three. And this is what went down. First of all, on the 23rd, that would be Tuesday, we had Akiyama on the mound and they had Sugano on the mound. These two faced off a few weeks back at Tokyo Dome and we got the better of them. We took down Sugano for four runs. Those were his first runs allowed in four games played for him. So he came in here with a bit of a chip on his shoulder, a bit of unfinished business to take care of, and boy, did he ever take care of it. Long story short, Akiyama definitely played his part as well. This one went seven innings before a run was scored, you know, and Akiyama was on fire, and Sugano, you know, turned his game up a notch when he needed to. He was not spectacular, but when he needed the outs, and especially when he needed the strikeouts, he got them. So in the top of the seventh, at long last, the zero trend finally broke. And that was when, with two outs, they got a double. And then it was an intentional walk. We intentionally walked Nakai in order to face Kobayashi. Kobayashi, not a great batter by any means, but he always seems to get the better of us when he needs to. And he did here. He punched one into right field and got them the first run of the game. The only run of the game, in fact. This one ends 1-0 for the Giants. So Akiyama hung with the tough luck loss. And of course, Sugano with his sixth win of the season. He only went seven innings, which sounds funny to say, but he had gone, I think, eight or more innings in almost all his starts up to this point this season. And he was not clean in any of his innings except for one, meaning we always had base runners, or all except for one inning. Let's see, some other things to talk about here. Umeno again guns down a guy in the first inning, so that's awesome. We had a couple of bunt attempts by Uemoto. Both of them were successful, and they were early in the game, and I think the strategy heading in was, once again, this is Sugano. He doesn't allow runs very often. We need to make sure that we get guys into scoring position so that when a hit comes along, it results in a run. Well, it didn't. But good try. Itoi had chances in the first, third, and seventh innings. Runners in scoring position. He did nothing with any of those. I think we gifted them... they gifted us, pardon me, a chance in the seventh. First and second, runners on first and second with no outs. And that was when Sugano fielded an Araki bunt and tried to throw it to second and didn't get that runner. And so on a fielder's choice, we ended up with a sweet situation. But Sugano came back and Ku Klux Klanned us with a triple K of, I think it was Itoi, Fukudome, and Nakatani, if I'm not mistaken. In the ninth inning, we went for another bunt attempt to get a guy into scoring position. That was Hojo, and that did not work out so well. So, tough luck. We lose, like I said, 1-0, and the first game of the series goes to them. We don't like losing to the Giants, and so let's move forward. Oh, but even though we move forward, we are still looking at, yep, more bad news. They brought Yoshikawa to the mound, and we brought Nomi to the mound on Wednesday. And this, again, was a super pitcher's duel. In fact, Yoshikawa was perfect for four straight innings. So nary a base runner for us until the fifth. Nomi had a no-hitter going for 5 2/3. He did walk, I think, three guys in that span. But until the sixth inning, they had no hits. Anyhow, the scoring did not break until the eighth in this one. But before we get to that, I mean, we really have to talk about the key play or the key inning in this one. Very important for Hanshin fans to know, and that is in the bottom of the fifth. So I'll run down what happened because this really was the tale of, you know, why the game ended up as it did. So Fukudome led off with a triple to the far right corner, right field corner. And so with no outs and a runner on third, we've got a great chance. Nakatani, all he has to do is lay down a grounder. And again, remember the score is 0-0 and Nomi has still got his no hitter going. And we need a run. And guess what? Their infield was not even playing in. So, I mean, seriously, any grounder would have scored Fukudome from third base. I mean, the Giants were basically conceding the run. Nakatani proceeded to fly out to shallow right field, so the run didn't score. Toditani comes up to bat, and again, so crucial. This is so important to how the game ended up. Yoshikawa threw a fastball. It kind of, you know, he didn't have great control, or it slipped out of his fingers or whatever, and it hit Toditani, you know, square in the nose, square in the face, really in the nose. It broke his nose. He was down, and he did not get up for about a minute. And it was scary. It was scary to watch. I mean, you know, love or hate Toditani, you never want to see a guy get beaned and be down on the ground that long. So they brought out the stretcher, but Toditani, being the tough guy he is, got up, walked to the bench, you know, under his own steam. But he did have blood gushing out of his nose the whole way back. And so he didn't come back into the game. And Yoshikawa got thrown out, of course, because that is the rule on such plays. Well, Hojo was the next batter due up, but instead we subbed in Hayata, Ito Hayata. Why? I'm not sure. I disagree with the call, but whatever. They said, you know, right-hander on right-hander, so we wanted to have a bit of an advantage here. Well, Hayata is not an advantage in most situations, and he wasn't here either. He grounded out to pitcher. And the groundout was such that Fukudome took off for home because it looked like there might be a chance to get past the pitcher. And, you know, on calls like that, I was talking to Zorni about this on text, and he said, you know, Fukudome made a dumb call for running. And in a sense, I agree with him. But at the same time, like, what if the ball does get past the pitcher? What if he, you know, fields it a little bit awkwardly? Well, it's too late for Fukudome to take off at that point. So I think he really had to just run on contact. He did, and he was thrown out at home. And so now we have got a two-out runner on first situation. Not cool. Or pardon me, runners on first and second situation. Still not cool. And then Umeno, you know, didn't do anything either. He ground out to second. So we got no runs there. We should have had, definitely should have had a run there. And certainly, like, after your guy gets beamed in the face and has to leave the field, your Iron Man, no less, your former captain, no less, I mean, you should be able to rally the troops, you know, out of anger and hit a ball out of the park or get a base hit or whatever. Side note, I'm reading a book. It's a great history book about the Hanshin Tigers. It's called Hanshin Tigers 1965 to 1978. And I'm just now reading about the 1968 season and a very particular incident. And I'm going to talk about this because it is kind of relevant here. And then I'll talk about it again in a few weeks when we get to episode 68. But basically, Sadaharu Oh got beaned. You know, he was their star player, and it wasn't cool. And he actually, I think he had to be taken off on a stretcher. He was hospitalized, or he went to the hospital or whatever. And so, and the Giants had a huge lead in this game, and it was not an intentional beaning. But anyways, the next batter, he was furious. He was livid. And that was none other than Shigeo Nagashima. And he hit a home run, you know, the very next, he was the very next batter. And he was like, screw you guys. I'll show you for plunking our guy. And that was that. And actually, Nagashima came back and hit another home run later in the game, and the Giants trounced us 10-2. Well, we did nothing after our captain got beaned, you know, intentional or not. You gotta do it just on emotion alone. You gotta do it. Well, anyways, it didn't happen. Nomi went 7 innings of incredible, awesome pitching. And then he was swapped out in the 8th, and we brought in Kuwahara. And I guess that was another mistake, but that's, again, a mistake in retrospect. I mean, Nomi was at 99 pitches, and, you know, I guess it's one of those things where some pitchers you let go longer than that, and some you just say, hey, look, like, good job, hit the showers, and we'll take it from here. And our relief has been very reliable up to this point, so there's no reason to think that they wouldn't be here. But, you know, with one out and a runner on second base, and this was after hitting a bunt, Kame hit one to right field. And that brought a homer run. So 1-0 for the Giants. And then in the top of the ninth, they got a couple more runs. This was off of Kyuji Fujikawa. And this is the runners on second and third. And Chono hit one to center field. It was a triple. This is one where I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Itoi went and tried to catch it on the fly, jumped up at the wall, fell, did not catch the ball. Anyhow, 3-0. And so we're looking dead in the water again. And in the bottom of the ninth, Uemoto hits a one run, i.e. solo home run with one out. So 3-1, and that was it. We didn't get anybody else on base, so we did not bring the potential tying run to the plate. So 3-1, we lose. 2 straight losses now at the hand of these Giants. Nobody's happy in Mudville. Nobody's happy in Nishinomiya. Nobody's happy in Tiger Town. So there you have it. And we're going into game 3 of the series on Thursday. And guess who is there? None other than T-Ray and friends, Jacob and Josh and Alex and Andy and Alex, another Alex, that is. Good times. We had a great time at the game. And boy, did this one start well. Messenger was on the mound for us. Otake was on the mound for them. And in the top, pardon me, bottom of the first inning, Itoi moved into the top spot in the hitting order because he was on a 28-game hitless streak. And not that that's the reason he was moved up to the top, but maybe it was, you know, because he got to get him into a rhythm early and, you know, just get him to break out of this funk. And break out of the funk he did. He hit a single to lead off the inning, and then Uemoto hit a double to bring him home. And then I think Fukudome got on base thanks to an error, but that also led to Uemoto being able to make it home. So now it's 2-0. And Campbell comes up and smashes one. This is a line drive to the deepest part of the park, to center field, over the fence, his first home run as a Hanshin Tiger. And so it is 4-0 after the first inning for us. And Randy was mostly dealing on this day, but in the top of the second, there's a little bit of a blip again. Mr. Kobayashi, this is with a runner on second base and a full count, and he hit one to center and scored a run. So 4-1 for us Tigers. top of the third, Campbell comes in with a runner on second and one out, and he smashes a double, this one to right center, almost the same spot that he hit the home run, just a little bit further towards right field, and this one bounced kind of just in front of the wall. So again, just a great line drive hit. It showed that he does have some power. He's not going to hit a home run every time up, but certainly he's got it in him to get some extra base hits. And, it's, you know, I just love seeing the trajectory of those balls too. You know, the line drives are just, they're great. I mean, you know, the odds of those dropping in for hits are way better than the big flies. So there you have it. But that was also followed up by a single by Umeno. That was with runners on first and second. That runner on second, of course, being Campbell. And so it is 6-1 now. And actually, that's how this one ended. There was no scoring after the third inning. But it was still fun to watch because, like I said, Randy was dealing. His pitch count was getting really high. And me and the guys were a little bit worried. We were like, oh, no. You know, he was up around 80 pitches after four innings. And we're like, oh, you know, he might go six innings, if that. Well, no, guy. He went eight innings, struck out 10, and just kept going. He just kept going. You know, like he really brought his better stuff towards the end of the game. The nice thing is he only had two walks on the day. Both of them were to Sakamoto. And he struck out 10 and, you know, just did his thing. So he ended up with 127 pitches. And good job for him. Only five hits allowed. And so we salvaged the series in that respect. By the way, one more thing that definitely needs to be mentioned, and that is Mr. Broken Nose, Toritani. He practiced on Thursday with a black mask, protective mask over his face, and he did show up in this game. You know, people made jokes, Masked Marauder, Batman, Green Hornet, blah, blah, blah. And, I mean, it's all fun and good and funny and all that kind of stuff. So he came in, pinch hit, and then he left. I mean, that was it. He just had his one at bat. He ended up grounding out to third base. But the applause that he got from the crowd was definitely something to take in and just really enjoy as being part of the crowd. And I'm sure he appreciated it as well. And you know, some people were complaining about this on Twitter, complaining about this on Facebook, or just complaining about this in their own minds or whatever. And everybody's saying, oh, you know, this guy's so selfish. He's doing it for the streak. You know, what's the point of it? You know, blah, 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 blah. Why does Kanemoto put up with this nonsense? You know, why are we doing this? And, you know, I used to be the type that would say, yeah, you're right. This is stupid. It's dumb. And on one hand, you know, I would say that if you put the streak over the team, you're definitely committing an injustice to the team and to the fans. So last year, for example, when Toritani was slumping for, you know, two straight weeks or a month straight or whatever, I was like, bench him. And end his streak, because if he's going to play this bad, he doesn't deserve a streak. You know, streaks are for guys that are contributing to the team. However, this year he is contributing. That would be my first point. Secondly, when they brought him in to pinch hit, the game was not on the line. It was a 6-1 lead. The Giants were not threatening to score whatsoever. As I said, Randy was on top of his game. So it's not like they were putting the streak ahead of the team. They were maybe lining them up. Maybe the streak was as important as the team at this point, but I'm okay with that. And here's the other angle that I didn't think about until maybe that day when I was at the game and I was thinking about this. You know, I don't often think about these people, and maybe I should a little bit more, but you know, there are people that have chronic illness. There are people in the hospital. There are people that are depressed. There are people that are going through hard times and they're looking for a hero. And sa kimi wa hiro da. Toritani Takashi. Well, when he comes back from a broken nose, I mean, the guy was clearly, you know, in pain. I mean, he was bleeding profusely the day before. Surely, you know, his eyes were swollen up. There was probably tons of bruising. I mean, his nose was out of place, all that stuff. And yet he still had it in him to practice that day. He even told the coaches that he was good to start if they needed him to start. Now, obviously, the coaches have enough sense to not start him, but that's heroism right there, and that's something that's going to give people out there hope. And so if that's what Toritani's streak is doing for people, especially in the face of injury, then I'm okay with him extending the streak. And so, you know, this streak wouldn't be if the coaches had not kept him in action all of last year when he stank. So I guess in that respect, I'm okay with the streak. Because, you know, if his streak had been broken, then he restarted one, and now he was playing in, what, his 90th straight game or something like that. Like, nobody would give two rips about it, right? But because it's his 790, sixth game, I think that was, or 795th, I think it was. It matters. And people look at that and say, wow, you know, this guy 2 years ago in 2015 played through broken ribs, and now he's playing through a broken nose. Good on him, man. And I would say, you know, if you're bringing hope and inspiration to people, well, isn't that what sports is all about? I mean, these guys, they're giving us hope. They're giving us excitement. They're giving us courage. They're giving us joy on a day-to-day basis by hitting home runs, by making fine defensive plays. So why not, by coming to the park the day after breaking your nose and still saying, hey, coach, do you need me? Because I'm ready to play. End rant. So there you go, a 2-1 series loss for us against the Giants, and we're going to move forward. But I would love to know what you all think about Toritani continuing his streak, about the coaches continuing to use him, even in little situations like that. I think it's an interesting topic, and I would have made it a hot topic, except that we're going to talk about Interleague a little bit later on. Let's move forward to the three set against the DeNA Baystars. Very quickly, though, we are now even with the Giants as far as season series goes. We are 5 wins, 5 losses on the year against them. Hopefully, we can keep it at least at 500, if not better. Honestly, I see this Giants team as one that we could do better than 500 against. So let's go for it. Okay, DeNA, we were up 5-1 in the season series heading into this one. There have been 3 rainouts already against DeNA, 1 at Koshien, 2 at Yokohama's stadium. So actually, I got tickets for the makeup game on September 25th. I'm pretty excited about that because if everything goes well, that could be a pennant-clinching game. Knock on the old wood. Okay, back to the action. Friday, we bring Shintaro Fujinami to the mound. They bring Shoichi Ino to the mound. And again, interesting, you know, other than the Thursday game, this one was all bagels through 5 innings. So another one of these games where there's no real action going on in the first half of the game. Now, let's not kid ourselves. Fujinami was not on top of his game by any means. I mean, the bases were loaded in the first, and he got out of it with a double play. He had a 1-2-3 second inning. In the third inning, he again had guys on first and second base. He walked another guy. In the fourth inning, he walked another guy and had runners on first and second base. In the fifth inning, he walked another guy, and we ended up having a runner on third, or they ended up having a runner on third base. But he ended up escaping all of those jams, and it finally caught up to him in the sixth inning when, first of all, there was a hit to center field for one, a single base hit, and then a wild pitch brought that guy to second base, another hit, and they had runners on first and third, another hit. This by Shoichi Ino, their pitcher, brought home their first run, and Fukudome kind of bobbled the ball in right, and so that allowed for runners on first and third, and still just one out. The next guy up gets another hit. Now it is 2-0, runners on first and second. Shintaro gets another out, so 2 outs. And then another hit, so bases loaded. 2 outs, bases loaded. And Shintaro induces a fly ball to shallow left. The winds push it to deep left. Hayata, who has started this game in left field, going back. Oh, can't make the catch. And because there were 2 outs, all the guys were running, and all of them scored, and it is 5-0. Shintaro ends on a positive note, and that is with a strikeout of Tsutsugo, but on the inning, he allows 6 hits. And that was the end of his day. He went 5 innings, and terrible 5 innings it was. So that was that. It's looking pretty bad, 5-0, and it stays that way until the 7th inning. But let's go back to the 6th real quick, because Toritani again making his pinch hit appearance, again wearing the black mask. One pitch, and he flies out to left, and he's gone. So just facing one pitch is enough for him to continue his quote-unquote Iron Man streak. But yeah, that be that. And then, okay, in the bottom of the 7th, we get an infield hit from Itoi. Another hit from Uemoto, and then with runners on first and second and 1 out, Fukudome hits one into left field for 1 run. So now it is 5-1, and the next inning we get another one back, and that comes on a double from Itoi. That was with runners on first and second, and so with runners on second and third and 2 outs, Uemoto has a chance to tie it with one swing of the bat, but unfortunately he flies out to center, and that would be the end of that inning. That would be the end of the game, folks. 5-2 for how about them Baystars. Lopez with the lucky hit, by the way. He was the one that got the 3 RBIs on that terrible fielding by Hayata. And after this game, Fujinami was farmed. We said, enough of that. You know, you got to work on your control, kid. I think he's got, 33 walks and 21 strikeouts in 8 starts this season. Pathetic. You know, even if his strikeouts and walks were even, that would be pretty bad. But he's got 12 more walks than he does strikeouts. So, bye-bye, Shintaro. Hope to see you back in a couple weeks. Hopefully you are back to who you were in, 2015, we'll say? Because last year wasn't so great either. So, we have lost 3 of 4 already at home this week. And if you remember on last week's show, I said I thought they would go 4-2. And I also thought that, you know, if we go 3-3, I would be happy with it because that would put us 10 games over 500 heading into Interleague. So let's go into Saturday's action. Mr. Blue Goat, Koyo Aoyagi, back on the top squad for this one. And he got some help early. In the third inning, Mr. Itoi, who has finally snapped out of his streak, his terrible streak, and then some, hits a 3-run home run. This was with a with Okazaki on first and Itohara on second. Both of those, by the way, were charity bases. Itohara bunted, and he said after the game that he had kind of looked at the data. He kind of knew the word out on Phil Klein. Phil Klein is 2.01 meters tall. Puts him what, about 6'8", and knew that he wasn't very good at fielding, so he laid down a bunt, hoping that something could be made of it. And in fact, Klein bumbled it. And then, actually, on a pickoff, bad pickoff, he allowed Itohara to advance to second. Then he plunked Okazaki, and so runners on first and second again. As I said, Itoi with a 3-run home run, just barely fair on the right field side of things, but you know they all count. So 3 runs, that's great. And a couple of batters later, 3 batters later, Fukudome hit a home run of his own. This one hit the left field pole. So it is 5-0 for Hanshin. We actually got 5 hits and a plunked batsman in this inning. So you know our bats came out in the third. And 1 inning later, Itoi again. This one with an infield hit and with runners on with a runner on third base. You know, scampers down the line in time and another run scores. So 6-1. Pardon me, 6-0, I should say. Don't worry, that one is coming real soon here. So Mr. Lucky Lopez, you know, he had the lucky 3 RBIs on Friday. In this case, he hit one to third base. It was a great stabbing catch by Campbell on the grounder. But Campbell also threw it well wide of Haraguchi at first base. And so the runner who was on first, Kajitani, came all the way around and scored. Lopez ended up on second. And a few batters later, Tobashira hits one to center. And Lopez scores easily. I kind of thought that Itoi could have charged that ball a little bit better and thrown home, and it was Lopez on the base path, so there would have been a chance to get him out at home, I was thinking. But maybe because it was a 6-1 lead at that point, he wasn't too worried. Pardon me. 6-1. He wasn't too worried about you know, getting that extra out. But I still think, you know, it'd be nice to see Itoi, the fielder, come out and play one of these days, because I'm just really disappointed in his fielding so far this year. Anyhow, let's continue a little bit more. So Lucky Boy Lopez actually helps us out a little bit in the bottom of the sixth with runners on, I think it was full bases loaded, and Itoi up at the plate. He grounded to first, and Lopez went for the double play. He tried to get somebody at home and then, you know, get Itoi out at first. Instead, he threw the ball wide of home. 2 runners score, so it's 8-2. Thank you, Mr. Lucky, for helping us out, but don't worry, we'll help you out again, and we'll get to that in just a little bit. So it's 8-2. In the bottom of the eighth, Nakatani, he says, Itoi, you got your 6th home run today. Fukudome, you got your 6th home run today. I need to catch you guys. And so he hit one. It went off the left field pole as well. That's 2 home runs in the same day off of the same left field pole. This one was a solo shot, so 9-2, and that's how this one ended. So there you go. 3 home runs, all by our home run leaders. They all line up again with 6 home runs each. 2 of those went off of foul poles. 1 of them just missed a foul pole. So interesting game. Anyways, it was great to see our guys bounce back with a big win. Now, Aoyagi was definitely Aoyagi-esque in this one. He walked a couple guys in the first, but actually I think that was it. I don't think he walked a ton of guys the whole way. But he did throw behind one of those guys. And so, you know, his terrible control is still a thing of, it's going to be a thing of legend. We'll put it that way. In relief, by the way, our relief, other than Wednesday's game, our relief has been pretty good. And in this case, it was Takahashi, Kazuo Ito for the second straight game, and Kuwahara, all pitching very well in relief. So let's go into Sunday. And Sunday, we bring Taiki Ono to the mound, and they bring Shota Imanaga. And so, if you remember, Ono had a bit of a rough outing against the Swallows last Sunday. However, we got the kind of nice fluky win on the fluky-looky wild pitch, intentional walk pitch. Well, we gave Ono a little lead again in this one, just as we did, I think, against the Swallows. We start him off with a one-run lead in this one. Campbell took a walk, and then Yamato hit one to left center and made it all the way to the wall ever so slowly. And, you know, slowly enough that Campbell was able to make it all the way around from first base. So 1-0 for us. But in the third inning, Ono fell apart. Oh, no. You know, I was hoping that we could say, oh, yeah, one of these times. But what ended up happening was with one out, he walked a guy. He walked a guy. Then we got our second out. It was a great play. And then with runners on second and third, Lopez hit one to shallow center. And it should have been our third out. Except, uh-oh, you know, the high winds again, and we're not sure who's going to catch the ball. And so Itoi is coming rushing in, and Yamato, who was playing shortstop, goes rushing back. And they smash into each other. And Yamato had the ball. It was in his glove. He dropped it. So, oh, that hurts. Two more runs score on that one. So Lopez, five RBIs in the series. All of those because of our bad outfielding. So that's the first two runs. And then Ono walks Tsutsugo, and then another hit brings in another run. And then a three-run home run brings in another three. So now it is 6-0. Then they get another hit, then another walk. And then finally the third out of the inning. So Ono really, really struggled there. Obviously, you know, if that catch had been made when it should have been made, there would have been no runs scored. But, you know, who's to say that Ono would not have struggled in the fourth inning then, or in the fifth inning, or any subsequent inning. So 6-1 at this point, we are looking completely lifeless. And in fact, for the most part, we were lifeless. We didn't get a lot of hits. But in the seventh inning, Itoi with a walk, Uemoto with a hit, Takayama making it on an error by the second baseman. So with bases loaded, Nakatani hits a sacrifice fly, scores Itoi from third base. So it's 6-2 now, but that's it. Haraguchi struck out looking. He swung at a terrible pitch. So that was the end of that inning, and that was the end of the action. 6-2 final. Tigers lose. Tigers go 2-4 on the week. What is going on with this team? You know, you're playing at home against two teams that are not particularly strong, that are not having particularly good months, and you blow it. So, yeah, like I said, that one collision was what opened the floodgates, and really unfortunate. Let's see, what else can we talk about in this one? Itoi recorded his 250th career stolen base. That was in the first inning, so congratulations, Itoi. Let's see you steal a whole bunch more during Interleague when you're facing these pitchers that you know. Hopefully you'll be able to reach double digits by the end of Interleague. That'd be great. Okazaki started his second straight game at catcher, which is the first time that's happened this season. By the way, again, with Aoyagi, Okazaki was a superstar. You know, even when Aoyagi threw behind the batter, Okazaki was still able to make the catch. It was a great diving catch. He would make a great hockey goalie, I think. So pretty cool stuff. Also in this one, Kyuji came in relief. He was the second reliever in the fifth inning. Wow. Yeah. So our relievers went six innings of clean ball. Iwazaki with one, Kyuji with two, Takahashi with one, Kazuo Ito playing his third straight game with one, and Dolis with one. So six straight innings of good, solid, tight relief pitching. Kyuji, did I say this? He got his 999th career strikeout. And so his next one, probably going to come this week, will be his 1,000th. So good for him. Great. The other one, this was our first loss on a Sunday in 2017. Well, these things happen. You know, it wasn't going to last forever. And it's just a dumb stat that really doesn't matter anyways. This is your week. All right, well, player of the week. When it comes to a 2-4 week, sometimes it's tough to find somebody that, you know, shone brighter than anybody else. But I'm going to choose two. The first one being Hiroki Uemoto. You know, he had a really good week. He went 7-21, so batting .333. He had 2 RBI, 3 runs, 1 home run, and 2 sacrifice bunts. So, yeah, good for him. And he also played some pretty solid defense. And then Randy Messenger. What can you say? 8 innings pitched, 10 strikeouts. He got the win. So one out of our two wins. The other one went to the Blue Goat, and he was not outstanding. So they have it. I'm going to give it to them. Good job, guys. And, you know, hopefully everybody has a solid interleague session, and it's going to be a lot harder to pick these players of the week in the weeks coming.
Huh? What? What's this Wacky Tomoaki?
Yep, again, I don't know if this is Wacky Tomoaki or if this is Wacky Koda or if this is Wacky Yano. I should come up with different little things for all of them. But anyways, I don't know who to blame. So this is what I say. First of all, Tuesday, we brought in Hojo as a pinch hitter to bunt. Why not Yamato? I don't get that. I mean, Hojo has never really been a good bunter. Not that I know of. That's not his thing. But Yamato, that's what he gets paid for, man. Bring him in. Let him bunt. I don't know. I don't think we'd used him yet, so I'm pretty sure he was still available off the bench. Wednesday. Why pinch hit Hayata for Hojo? Again, like I said, I read an article where Wacky said that, you know, Hojo was struggling against right-handed pitchers, so we brought in Hayata. Oh, nonsense. Hayata, why aren't you farmed yet, buddy? And then, of course, starting Hayata in the lineup on Friday. Hasn't Hanshin learned its lesson? Hayata is not big league talent. You know, he might get the occasional big pinch hit, but starter, he ain't. So there you go. Those are my three choices for the Wackies of the week. Yeah, so for Hot Topic, it's kind of a combination Hot Topic / predictions part. So let's talk a little bit about the history of Interleague before we go any further. The history of Interleague, this has been going on since the 2005 season, and that means that there have been 12 seasons of Interleague. Of these 12, you may be interested to know, Hanshin has finished above 500 during Interleague schedule 5 times and below 500 7 times. In more recent years, since 2009, we are 2-6 as far as finishing above 500. Seasons above 500. Let's go. So last year we were 4 games below 500. The team that demolished us was Chiba Lotte. The year before we were 2 games above 500. We were the only CL team with a winning record. We did a good job against Nippon Ham and Rakuten. We swept them both, but we also got swept by the Oryx Buffaloes. The year before that we were 6 games below 500. That was the year that H10 was born, so I don't remember it super well, but we did not do particularly well against the Cebu Lions, the Oryx Buffaloes, and the Rakuten Eagles. So that's as far back as we will go with our interleague history. But overall, these are the teams that we are good and bad against. You know, overall, we actually have a mediocre record against every PL team. We are 4 games below 500. This is over a 12-year span, by the way. 4 games below 500 against Cebu. 3 below 500 against SoftBank. 3 below 500 against Nippon Ham. 1 below 500 against Oryx. We are 3 games above 500 against Lotte, which means the team that we are best against is the Rakuten Eagles. We are 4 games above 500 against them so far in 12 years. Now this season, I will run down the schedule for you really quick of what we are going up against in these 18 games. We start with 3 on the road against the last place Chiba Lotte Marines, and then we come back and host the 5th place, believe it or not, Nippon Ham Fighters. They're, I think, a half game behind the Oryx Buffaloes. 5th place, Nippon Ham Fighters. We host them at Koshien for 3. Then we go on the road for 6. We will face the 4th place Oryx Buffaloes at Kyocera Dome, followed by the 2nd place SoftBank Hawks at Yafuoku Dome. Then we come home and we play 3 against the 3rd place Saitama Seibu Lions, and then we play 3 at home against the 1st place Rakuten Eagles. That's the schedule. All right, let's listen to what Christian has to say about the Chiba Latte Marines.
Hey everyone, Christian Jin here talking from Graveyard Baseball, covering all things Cebu Lions in English. So the Hanshin Tigers are going to go out and face, I believe it's the Chiba Latte Marines and the Hokkaido Nippon Ham Fighters as part of your Pacific League preview of the week. Now for the Marines, they've been struggling. It's been very simple. The Marines have been terrible on both fronts, both hitting and pitching. Specifically the hitting. They were hitting under 200 as a team at the time of this recording, and really the only guy who's hitting above 250 is Daichi Suzuki, their shortstop, and I guess Tadahito Iguchi, you could argue, but really they've been scrambling. And some guys on the infield have been a bust or have not lived up to hype. Really, you can't even name a guy who can hit 20 home runs, let alone 15 home runs this year for them. But there's a lot of terrible hitting. Jimmy Paredes has been a bad signing so far, and Matt Duffy has not done enough. They have plenty of young guys, like Taiga Hirasawa, who's not up with the team right now, but the only thing they have is a little bit of starting pitching. Luckily, you're going to see Ayumu Ishikawa this week, and then the other two will be very uncertain. It could be Chihaya Sasaki. It could be Kwon Yu Chen, since you're facing them on the front of the week from ZozoTown Marine Stadium. But really, the Marines just lack hitting. That's the biggest problem. They don't have enough hitting when it matters most, and then their pitching has been below average, let alone their bullpen has not been good until you get to Uchi, their closer. So if you guys can score before the ninth inning, the Hanshin Tigers should be cruising. The Marines just are not where they need to be, as you've probably seen in the standings. So I think the Hanshin Tigers will probably win 2 out of 3. I think the Marines might squeak 1 just because a 3-game series is always tough, no matter who it is.
Thanks, Christian. It is good to hear your voice again. Thank you for taking the time. By the way, we didn't have a chance to record this live or have an actual conversation, so it's going to be just me kind of responding to some of what Christian said. And this is what I've got to say. First of all, you know, obviously you know the PL better than I do, so I'm not going to question a ton of what you have said. I will say this, though. Ayumu Ishikawa has come back. He didn't do a great job last Tuesday against the SoftBank Hawks, but he's still Ishikawa. He killed us last year. He shut us down real bad, and we ended up losing. We lost all three against Lotte last year, and one of those was against him. So I'm not looking forward to facing him on Tuesday, probably. And then also, they have Katsuya Kakunaka, who is probably their best hitter. He's back from injury, although hopefully it'll take him a while to get back into his groove. He is batting 189 on the season right now. However, he's the guy that cracked the Grand Slam home run, come from behind Grand Slam home run against us in 2015 to take that one game that Lotte won against us that year. So as far as Lotte goes, though, also they have brought in, I'm going to get his name right or wrong here, Roel Santos? I'm going to get his name right or wrong, so you can decide if I'm right or wrong. Anyways, I'm 100% right with that statement. Anyways, he is a young Cuban, and apparently he is possibly going to be ready to play against us on the 30th. So you never know. He may be in their lineup. He may replace Paredes, who's been terrible. He may replace Duffy. I'm not really sure what position Santos plays, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But we are going to be bringing Akiyama, Nomi, and Messenger up against the worst hitting team in the PL, the worst hitting team in NPB right now. And without jinxing that, you know, I'm going to say that we're going to sweep the Marines. I'm going to say we're going to beat Ishikawa, or we're going to beat the bullpen. You know, the difference between this year's Tigers and last year's is that we take a lot more walks. We're a lot more selective. I don't think that Ishikawa is going to have as easy a time getting us out, which means hopefully he won't go as deep in the games, which means hopefully even if he pitches somewhat well, we'll be able to attack their bullpen. So I'm going to say with our three best pitchers going against the worst hitting team in NPB, we take all three. Again, I don't believe in jinxes, so, you know, T-Ray's voice right now saying this is not sending out some weird voodoo on the Hanshin Tigers. So if we lose, don't blame me, folks. Christian, tell us a little bit about the Nippon Ham Fighters, if you will.
Now, as for the Fighters, who are going to be coming to Koshin Stadium. As we all know, the Fighters have been playing without Shohei Ohtani. That's been the big story. He's been out. He'll likely be out by the time the Tigers see them. Now, for the pitcher matchups, you're going to most likely see Hiroshi Hirano, who's been playing very well since being called up. That guy was a second-round pick of theirs in 2013. You're also likely to see Kohei Arihara and Luis Mendoza. I think, you know, there's going to be some tough matchups. Kohei Arihara does not have the endurance to go long. I think Arano might pull some surprises and play better. But Arihara was the guy with a lot of hype. And then Mendoza's the guy who can eat innings. Now, I think the fighters this year, they're not hitting as well as they could. They're lacking some bats. Yeah, we can talk about the one guy that's missing, but they're lacking. Their pitching depth is also just not where it needs to be. It's kind of good. It can be average. The bullpen is okay, but it's nothing great. I think they're hitting, I said, outside of Kensuke Kondo, their hitting has been below average. They still have speed on the base pass, like Haruki Nishikawa. But Takuya Nakashima's out. They're having injuries. Shohei Okada's not hitting as well. And as I said, Shohei Ohtani is out. They're hitting, once again, below average. But they've also been playing well as of late. They are no longer that bottom feeder that they were at the start of the year. So I think the Tigers can sweep the Fighters very well. But I'm going to once again say 2 out of 3, just like against the Marines. I think that the Fighters are good enough to squeak one out. Maybe they'll pull one out. I think that one guy might pitch better than expected. May not be Arano. Maybe Luis Mendoza. Maybe it's Arihara. But yeah, I think the Hanshin Tigers are going to go 4-2 this week against the Fighters and the Marines. So let me know what you guys think. And once again, you can follow our work at graveyardbaseball.blogspot.com. Go Lions.
We're sorry. The number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
Right now, this is an interesting one, Christian, and all of you listeners out there, because the Fighters have farmed two pitchers in the past week. So they would have had Urano and Arihara on Friday and Saturday, because that's who they had this past week, but both of those guys got farmed. So who are they going to bring? I don't know. I read a rumor that possibly Yuki Saito, the handkerchief prince from back in the day when he was a high school pitcher and he, you know, starred at Koshien Stadium for Waseda, he might be getting a start. Bring it on, I say. It would be great to be able to show him that Koshien ain't always a friendly place. It'd be nice to be able to get a win out of him. And then I don't know who else they are going to bring in place, but Christian mentioned a couple of guys that I've not heard of, but you know, they might be somewhat decent. But then the interesting thing is too, we farmed Shintaro Fujinami after his loss on Friday, and I wouldn't be surprised if we farmed Taiki Ono. I haven't read anything about it, but he hasn't been good for two straight starts. Even if he stays in, you think about it, you know, we put our three best pitchers up against the Marines. That leaves our three worst pitchers against the Fighters. And one guy you did not mention, Christian, and that is Brandon Laird, who is having a great season. He is leading the league in home runs. He and Alfredo Despaña, I think, have 14 apiece or 15 apiece, something like that. So I'm not too optimistic about this, even though it's at Koshien, and even though the Fighters are not the team they were last year, I'm going to say we only take 1 out of 3, simply because our pitching is unstable and they still have enough decent bats to be able to combat our bad pitching. So there you have it. That's our predictions and our hot topic all wrapped into one. And by the way, just to take this a step further so that we can kind of get a clearer picture of the whole hot topics. So what I'm saying then, much like Christian, but just with different totals, I'm saying that we go 4-2 this first week of the interleague schedule. And we better, because the next week after that, again, we're putting our better pitchers against the struggling Oryx, and then we're putting our bad pitchers against the hot Hawks. And that's all going to be on the road. So honestly, I mean, a 500 week is looking good there, you know, best case scenario. And then the following week, we're facing two really good teams that hit the ball really well, both of them, both the Lions and the Eagles. And that's at Koshien. But again, we haven't had great success against the Lions in recent years. They're the worst team for us in Interleague in the 12-year history of Interleague. So that final week as well, I'm looking at maybe a 500 record. You know, things might change because things, you know, lineups change, injuries happen in a two-week span. But again, if we go 3-3 in each of the following 2 weeks after this coming week, that means we better go 4-2 this week and get ourselves on the plus side, I hope, during all of Interleague. So there you have it. Those are my numbers. What do you say? I would love to hear what you have to say about the Interleague schedule. Who's going to win? Who's going to excel for the Tigers? Are we going to get more than 3 home runs, which is all we got last year during Interleague, if you remember? What's it going to look like? Send me an email. I would love to hear from you all, as always. Hit me up on Twitter. I'd love to hear from you all that way as well. put a comment on the Facebook page, put a comment on the website. It's all good. So, we don't need to do predictions because we just did. Thank you once again for your time and your passion for the Hanshin Tigers. You can find this podcast and extra news, articles, and more at www.thehanshintigers.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And finally, it came out on time this past week. Hopefully this one does as well. Or you can go to Stitcher as well. Stitcher is a great backup source, a good plan B for you. So type in those four magic words, Hanshin Tigers English News. Subscribe to the podcast. Write a review on iTunes. Write a review on Stitcher. Share with your friends. Share with your enemies. If you do write a review, I would love for you to make me aware of that because, especially on iTunes, if you write it in the iTunes Japan store, I don't see that in my iTunes Canada store and so on. Same thing with America. So yeah, if you write a review, let me know. I'd love to hear what you had to say, even if there's some constructive criticism in there. You can criticize me for my poor pronunciation there. You can get all the news about the Hanshin Tigers instantly by following us on Facebook. Just search for Hanshin Tigers English News. I'm tongue-tied, everybody. What's going on? You can also follow T-Ray on Twitter at the Hanshin Tiger. I'm coming up on 600 followers. I'm hoping by season's end to have 1,000 there. I'm hoping to have 1,000 likes on the Facebook page. We're coming up on 500 there as well. So help, share, spread the news. Spread the love, everybody. In the meantime, keep cheering until the Hanshin bench gets things together and the players no longer complain about the lousy Aho bench. Have a great week, everyone. Enjoy Interleague. Tiger.